So Janine, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction to Palm Sunday this morning. It's a great reminder that our worship is shaped by the life of Jesus, the walk that Jesus walked. So especially, it comes into kind of more clear focus during Holy Week, which is what this day sort of begins, because we follow the events that lead up to Jesus' death and then the events that follow Jesus' death. And we follow, it's like we're just walking right alongside him in all of what happens. So today is Palm Sunday. Maundy Thursday will be the part in the story where Jesus shares, breaks bread with his disciples and acknowledges that he'll be betrayed right before he goes to Gethsemane. And then Good Friday is the day where we won't have a service, but that's another holy day during this Holy Week where we follow Jesus toward the cross. Holy Saturday is the day between Good Friday and Easter where nothing happens, and it's very uncomfortable because a lot just happened. And if we're going to enter that story with Jesus and his disciples, the disciples during that day where nothing happens are desperate for something to happen. So Saturday we get to just sit there in that desperation and that wonder of like, what is God? God has to do something, right? So that's what Holy Saturday is. And then of course Easter is Easter, the day where Jesus walks right out of the tomb. So we are beginning Holy Week today. Welcome to Holy Week. We're going to jump right into the text this morning. This is what we heard already. We're going to read it one more time. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. These are greetings that the crowds shouted as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And it's something that would have only been appropriate to cheer out loud if you were greeting a king or an emperor or someone really powerful. Kings come in the name of the Lord. That is reserved for people who sit on thrones and have a lot of power. Emperors were lords. Right, they were like to compare themselves to God. They like to be God. And Hosanna means we are saved, or save us. And only kings and emperors and these powerful people have the power to rescue and save. Emperors are the ones who hold that power. And they were waving these palm branches. These were signs of victory and honor. And that was supposed to be for a king or an emperor, someone really powerful. The crowds were saying something really clear with these chants and these calls, these cries of Hosanna and these palms. They were saying, "The one that we have been waiting for, the one who brings victory and freedom to us, is finally here. We see it. We recognize it." And that's something really, really bold to chant about this Jesus guy who doesn't ride in on a horse or a chariot, but arrived riding on a donkey. And this is very bold to say while this city is under the absolute control of the Roman Empire. So this passage tells us why Jesus is receiving this greeting. There's a reason that they chanted this particular thing at this particular moment. And we had it here in our text in verse 5. Ages before Jesus walked the earth, an oracle came from the prophet Zechariah. And this is what it said. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So Jesus and the crowds were fulfilling this prophecy, this ancient prophecy. Prior to this moment, everywhere Jesus went, people were asking, who is this guy? In one way or another, that's not a direct quote, but who is this guy? But most, if not all, of the people that were there in the crowds knew the Hebrew scriptures really well and by heart. So when they saw all of the elements of this prophecy coming together, Jesus coming to Jerusalem, humbly riding on a donkey, they knew something was happening. And they were asking probably that same question, but with more urgency. Wait, no, really, who is this guy? Who is this? And right in front of their eyes is this fulfillment of this oracle of Zechariah. And that's why they said what they said and cheered and waved palm branches. It was like the time had come. The visual had initiated this moment. And that's why we say what we say and do when we do when we're here on Palm Sunday. With palms and chanting, the crowds declared Jesus their king. They recognized him, and we join that crowd, and we do the same thing. Jesus is king. We recognize him. So we wave our palm branches, and we say, Hosanna. And this is really great, but we do have to pause and wonder how we get from this scene, this triumphal entry where there's people singing, dancing, waving palm branches, and crying Hosanna, declaring Jesus as king, how we get from there to Good Friday. In just a few days' time, the shouts of Hosanna transform into shouts of crucify him. It's a pretty astounding shift. What happened in the space of just a few short days is a question worth asking. Honestly, I think the first thing that happened is hidden in the hosannas, in the cries of save us, save us. When the crowds shouted Hosanna, I wonder if what they were shouting was Hosanna, save us from them. Save us from those people over there. And maybe they were also shouting, conquer them. Be the king we need who conquers our enemies and destroys them. Now, you don't have to say those things out loud to know and feel them in your heart. They can say, Hosanna, save us. Save us from them. Save us from those other people. Conquer them, and when you finally conquer them, we will be saved. Because they recognized Jesus as king, but they wanted to put him on the thrones of this earthly empire that they were in. They want Jesus to exercise his power the way that earthly rulers exercise their power, with brute strength, with force, coercion. This donkey signaled the crowds to recognize this moment as the moment that this king they've been waiting for finally arrives, right? But what they were actually hoping for was that Jesus would get off that humble donkey and conquer Rome. That he'd get off the humble donkey and stand up and show his power. Throw Caesar off his throne and sit on it himself. But Jesus was not interested in those thrones. Jesus was not interested in doing the work of earthly empires. Earthly empires are interested in conquering enemies and accumulating power. Jesus is only interested in loving his enemies and leading us into a new world where we do the same. This is not the salvation that they wanted or were fully expecting. Slowly through the week, as Jesus embarrassed and disappointed these initial crowds by continuing to just show up as Jesus, you can almost hear the cries change. Hosanna, save us! What is he waiting for? Conquer them! Well, if he isn't for us, then he must be against us. Crucify him. Crucify him. They wanted a king who would show up and conquer their enemies because that's what they had grown accustomed to. That's the water they were swimming in, right? How they imagined God's saving grace in this world looked exactly like the powers that were oppressing them. So their idea of salvation was the destruction of the other, the destruction of those people, the destruction of them. Fill in the blank of whoever those people are and whatever them is. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's exactly what we want. We wish so hard for God to swoop down and exercise this brute strength and power to just remove everything that hurts and every person that hurts us from this planet, as if that would resolve evil and make everything better again. We foolishly believe, like a millennia of people, that the evil in this world exists because certain people are in it. But Paul reminds us of what Jesus spent a lot of time trying to teach us and still is trying to teach us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. When we cried Hosanna at the beginning of the service, what did we mean? What did we mean when we were waving our palm branches and declaring Jesus as king? What kind of king were our hearts bowing to in that moment? What are we hoping that God will save us from? And how do we hope God will do it? We have the opportunity to do something that the crowds did not, or they probably had the opportunity, but we're going to seize the opportunity in a way that they did not. Search our hearts. Be honest with the ways that our desires for vengeance and violence exist in our hearts, but that they're not in line with what Jesus came to do and the kind of king that Jesus is and the kind of throne that Jesus sits on. We have the opportunity to be honest about the ways that we want Jesus to climb off of God's throne and climb into one of ours, because it would be more expedient, it'd be more satisfying. When we say, Hosanna, save us, are we really just asking God to conquer our enemies for us? So you all have copies of this poster on your table. I don't have it with me. If you need extra copies, I think there's extra on this table up here with Eric. But you all have copies of this little poster. And your task in a moment is to fill in the blank. It says, Hosanna, save us from, fill in the blank. Eric and I are going to play a song while you fill in that blank. But before you write the name of a person or even a group of people, I want to invite you to follow Jesus underneath the Hosanna and look for what we actually need Jesus to conquer. If you're tempted to name a single person as the epitome of evil in this world, or a group of people, I'd encourage you to look for those. I think it's King James we hear in that Ephesians passage, the powers and principalities underneath that are driving the person or people to do the things that they do, because that is where God is exercising power, right? Another way to think of it is to wonder, ask yourself, be willing to wonder, where is the suffering in the world? And where is the suffering in my heart? Hosanna, save us from whatever that is. When you're finished with your posters, I'm going to ask you to bring them up and lay them on the communion table. And that's on purpose, not just for easy collection. Because this table is where we remember what real power and a true king looks like, is like, behaves like, with humility and grace and mercy, even in the face of death. That's the kind of Jesus, the King Jesus is. And that's the kind of King that we cry Hosanna to and that we hope and pray relieves suffering, relieves us from the pain, relieves us from the sin that drives the suffering in this world. So Eric, if you want to come on up. So we're going to sing a song called Hosanna as you meditate on that thought and fill in that blank. I hope that we carry these Hosannas in our hearts as a prayer, and as a prayer that God sees as worth praying and worth answering, and in ways that we have to hope for, in ways that we have to believe is underneath what we often see. The prayers are being answered. God is answering our cries of save us. It doesn't always look the way we want it to because we can't see everything yet that we want to see. But as we mentioned a little bit earlier, there is a lot of things that are good happening in this world that God is doing. A lot of fruit is springing up from this this work that's being done under the surface, this sort of battle that feels like is being waged under the surface is won. It's a won battle. So we can see the fruits of it, but we do have to be aware and pay attention. So as we cry out for God to save us, let's also cry out for God to open our eyes to see the good things that are happening in this world right in front of our faces, the good things that are pouring out of our own hearts, the good things that are coming out of our own actions and the actions of others in this world. We have to be willing to see it. Would you join me in prayer? God, Lord, as we enter Holy Week, as we walked into Jerusalem with Jesus and joined the crowd's excitement, I thank you for the opportunity to face the ways that we, throughout history, have led to the crucifixion of Jesus, to the ways that we have led from the cries of declaring Jesus as King and to crucify him. Lord, as we wonder about the ways that that our sin continues to lead to the death of Christ, we ask you to continue to open our hearts, to turn the other way, to make different choices, to show up and really wonder what's underneath our prayers, and to help us continue to pray the bold prayer of Jesus, save us. Hosanna, save us. As we continue in our worship this morning, we do so with open hands and open hearts in the form of an offering. God, we ask for your blessing God, for your abundance and your power to be seen in the way that it can be seen through you, not through the ways that we understand in this world. There is no such thing as too little. There's no such thing as powerlessness in your power. God bless what we have to offer you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.